Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Hello, welcome to part 5 of As Your Soul Prospers. The Bible says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers, or in proportion to the way your soul prospers. And so we've been talking a lot about how what's going on inside often causes us problems outside. And so we've been talking about soul hooks, and that there's 3 kinds. As far as I know so far, I may learn more, but what I know so far is that there's 3 like categories of soul hooks, or things that cause us problems. So one category, probably the biggest one I've encountered in myself and when I'm helping other people, is a lie we've believed. So let's say, for example, you grew up in a home and your parents maybe didn't speak positively. Some homes are like that. That's just, in some homes, that's just kind of the way things are done. And we are really a product of how we grew up, whether it was in a home with parents, a foster home, on the streets. We're a product of what we've learned. We kids have to learn how to survive. And a lot of our behaviors are because we learned how to get through it, how to survive when things weren't easy. And so it's not just our parents, but maybe teachers or friends, enemies, bullies, people in our lives may have told us things. And if we don't know to reject it as a lie, we may receive it as a truth, and it may become so deeply ingrained that it actually becomes a part of our identity. And I'm finding that's happened to a lot of God's people, is that they were not treated kindly, which is very common, much more common than I had any idea. I had no idea how many hurting people there are. And a lot of times people come to church and they can't really say anything, and so no one knows how much, you know, wounding they're carrying around. And they're smiling because they were taught to smile, you know, smile in church, how are you, I am fine, and I did it for years. But my point is that God wants to heal our soul, because he wants us to prosper and be in health. He wants us to be able to walk in real joy and real peace all the time. And so I really believe that, in fact, I can say I know that the way to is to do some soul cleaning, soul cleansing. And so let's just look at a few. These are just examples. There are hundreds of lies that we can believe, but they're not true. And how we know they're not true is if they don't line up with what the Bible says about you. If you're born again, then the Bible has a lot of things to say about you. The first thing you should know is that you are deeply loved by God, and it is not dependent upon your behavior. If you are born again, you were given a new creation, your born again spirit, which was made after the image of God. Isn't that amazing? That's what the Bible says. So if you're not a Christian or you don't believe the Bible, you might not take that as truth. But to a Christian, to a true believer, a true disciple, we're to look at that and elevate that truth above the truth that somebody else says, or the truth that the enemy says, or that, which he never does, or the so-called truth our emotions will tell us. And the problem is, if we were trained wrong, we'll actually believe we're no good, we're a bum, I could never do it, I'm too shy, I'm too fearful, I'm too, you know, whatever the lie is. Those are lies that people believe. I have a close friend that was told that she had a learning disability. And I remember thinking, how is that possible? Because I knew my friend well enough to know she had no learning disability. She was very, very smart and able to solve really complicated problems all the time. And so she was talking about her inability to learn. I said, that's not true. I think you've believed a lie. So what happened is they told her that. Now, let me just say this. It may have been true at one time, But somewhere along the line, Jesus got a hold of her, and she does not have a learning disability. Now, she did what you should do, and she took that to the Lord and said, is that true? Did I believe a lie? And it got her free. Well, we have people, I've been dealing with a lot of people for many, many years, and I saw that the same patterns, they weren't always the same lies, okay? But as I was walking with the Lord and getting free and coming to understand truth and coming to be able to walk in peace all the time, all the time, all the time, I wouldn't trade that for a million zillion dollars, right? I'm very wealthy when it comes to peace. I walk in great peace all the time, but I guard it. And how I guard it is by not taking on the lies that the world would throw at me, or that people would throw at me, or that the enemy would throw at me, or that my own emotions might try to throw at me, right? I guard my peace and I say, no, I'm not taking that on, right? And so that's why God desires for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because how can you walk in faith? Or how can you walk in great love? How can you walk in the love of Jesus when people are stinky to you? Well, Jesus was able to do it, wasn't he? And it was because he knew some truth. He knew truth. He was truth. He said he was the way, he was the truth, and he was the light. So he was truth. And so that's how, knowing truth is how he was able to forgive the unforgivable while they were murdering him, while they're in the very act of murdering him, and he's in horrendous pain, he is able to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he was able to do that because he had truth in his inner man, right? And so how can we, you know, we can say, oh, Jesus, make me like you. But let me tell you something. He can't. Now, this sounds funny. But for him to do that, he would have to override your free will if you made a choice to believe something or walk a certain way. And God has made a clear decision that he will not override man's free will. He gave us free will because he wanted us to come to him, but only because we wanted to. He doesn't want worshipers that are robots that worship him just because they're robots. He wanted people to love him because he's worthy. And because they know that he's the one and only. You know, he loves his children, but he will not override their free will. And so the way he said it to me is, when you made a choice, you have to unmake it. I can't unmake it, for I won't unmake it for you. And so when we've made a choice to believe something, and maybe we were 3 years old, and somebody told us we were stupid or slow or clumsy or, you know, whatever the terrible words people say to each other. You know, siblings say terrible things to each other. Parents sometimes say terrible things, and they don't even mean it. It's not even true. But I know this from ministering to lots and lots of people who've believed horrendous things that do not line up with the Word of God. And here's what I constantly see. They know the truth here, but they find it hard to believe in their heart. So let me give you one example. We preach a lot on the forgiveness and the love and the mercy of God. We've noticed that some people, for whatever reason, couldn't receive it. They couldn't believe it. They believe it in their head. They know God is merciful. They know he cares about people. He loves people. And he loves other people. But they don't believe that they are lovable or forgivable. They believe deep down, not in their head, but in their heart, they believe they're damaged goods. And therefore, it doesn't matter how much I preach it, they can't receive that the Father really, actually loves them because they believe that they're no good. And the reason they believe that is they were probably told that, not once, but probably many times. Sometimes when I meet people just out in the world, I can tell by their behavior that they've been abused. I can tell by the way they act that they've been hurt and hurt bad. And you know, our job isn't to judge them, but to be kind to them and love them, because some of them are never going to find wholeness or the love of God if they aren't loved out of that, you know? And so the lies we believe determine our behavior. Do you ever see somebody who goes to crazy lengths to prove themselves, and you think, oh, they've got pride? you know what they really have? Yes, there's probably some of that going on, but they've been beat up in their life. They've been treated as less. They've been treated as garbage, and they need to prove that they have some value. So they'll go to great, almost crazy lengths to prove that they have value, and really what they're trying to do is prove it to themselves, you know? And sometimes even young women will allow men to handle them because they're really looking for their value. They're looking for a valuation that their dad didn't give them, just being honest. They're searching, you know, for their dad in every person they meet. They're searching for somebody to respect them. Sometimes we'll meet a professor or a very smart person, and we want them to give us their stamp of approval because then we would feel valued. And that's a sign that there's a lie in your soul. Because if you're really born again and you really believe the Word of God, you know that God Himself placed value on you before you were ever born. There's words written about you before you ever entered your mother's womb. I don't understand all that, but that's what Psalm 139 was, that there was words written about you before you were even born. God values you and cherishes you and loves you, and it's not dependent on your behavior or if you ever figure this stuff out that I'm teaching. The reason I'm teaching this is this will help you get through life easier. This will help you to be kinder to yourself and to actually like who you are. You can get so whole, so complete, so healed in your soul that you actually like who you are. And if other people don't, you just think, well, they just don't know me. They just don't know me. If they knew me, they'd like me. You know, or at least they'd get why I have a goofy sense of humor. Or, you know, it wouldn't be your problem. See, people's opinion of you wouldn't determine your opinion of you. People, listen, Jesus was perfect, holy, absolutely God. And people didn't like him. There was people that said terrible things to him, terrible things about him, plotted to kill him, right? But he was perfect in every way. There's never lived a more wonderful man, a kinder man, a more loving man. Went around doing nothing but helping people all the time. You know, never charged anybody for it. Never, you know, just a wonderful man. And yet people hated him without a cause, right? And so that tells you right there, his value did not go down just because they didn't get it. They were idiots. Idiots. Or the Irish say idiot. They just didn't get it. They didn't get who he was. But, you know, here's something about Jesus. He got who he was. He knew exactly who he was. And so he wasn't moved by their whatevers. He wasn't moved by their opinion. He wasn't moved by their threats. He wasn't moved by their slander, because he knew those two things. He knew who he was, and he knew what his mission was in life. You know, he knew what he was here to do, and he was determined to do it, and he didn't care what anybody thought. And if people loved him or didn't love him, that didn't move him, because he knew who he was. And that, to me, is a great definition of being complete or whole or healed in your soul. When you really understand who you are, whose you are, and what you're here to do, no human can take that from you. Nobody can take it from you. Even if they want to kill you, even if they want to martyr you, they can't take from you who you are. They can't take from you who God is in you. They can't take from you your mission. They can't, because that was given by God, and nobody can take that away. And so God wants you to become whole by not believing the lies. And so how I learned about these lies is that when I went through a very hard time, I was a devout Christian. I was sold out to Jesus. I was all in, as they say. I mean, I lived a life of prayer. I was really involved in my faith and in church. I was really, really involved. But unfortunately, I didn't know these truths, and so I believed a lot of lies. And my life was getting worse and worse. And so things got so bad that I was really almost sick. It was bad for a long time. And I was slowly being torn down to a place where I just almost couldn't function. But I was close to the Lord, and I knew that He loved me. And God began to help me to see truth, because I was really being driven by circumstances and emotions, which is a poor way to live. And so God began to confront me that I was believing certain lies, and in doing so, I was actually elevating those lies above the truths he had put in his word. And so he made it clear to me that in its way, that is sin. If you tell me, if your word says, if the Bible says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, but you still believe you're a piece of junk because that's what your uncle said, then, and you believe this in your heart, and you say, well, yeah, I know the Bible says this, but now what's happened there? You've elevated this lie above the truth of the Word of God. Now, can I say this? This is what God showed me. To do this is to actually call God a liar. God doesn't make junk. God doesn't have children that he doesn't love. He doesn't have any. Now, he has some whose behavior he doesn't love. You know, we all, if you have children, right, nothing they do is going to stop you from loving them. There are things they do that you don't love. And there are things they do you don't love because you know it will hurt them. It will wreck their life. Some of you have basement kids or kids that, you know, they're in their 30s and 40s and they're still hooked on video games and drugs and stuff. You still love that child. You're still praying for that child. But you hate that behavior because you know it's damaging to them. Well, that's how God is to us. He loves you with an everlasting love. But he doesn't love self-destructive behavior. And I was recently talking to a friend, and God had set them free from, it was really, really an amazing testimony. They had grown up in terrible abuse. And because of it, because of the verbal things that were said to them, not once, but their whole life growing up, they really believed they were inferior. They really almost hated, it was almost self-hatred. And they would do crazy stuff to excel so that people would think well, but they'd run themselves down. They'd speak horribly about themselves. They actually had, I think, like a spirit of self-hatred. Have you ever heard of cutters? You know what a cutter is? A cutter is usually a youth, right? Usually teens or 20s. And they cut themselves, right? You know who was a cutter? The Gadarene demoniac. And if you don't know what that means, it means the madman, the demon-possessed man. When Jesus crossed the lake, right, the man possessed with legions of demons. It says that he was in the tombs cutting himself in one of the places, one of the stories about him. He was cutting himself with the stones. So cutting is not new, right? It's a demon. It's a devil. And so, and this guy was a demoniac, or he was possessed by many devils. And so a person who's a cutter, that's a demonic stronghold. And often there's torment or self-hatred. I knew someone once that the Lord did deliver them, but they hated themselves. And actually, I don't think they completely did, but they hated certain things about themselves and habits and just some of the things going on in their life. And they would actually smash their head against the wall. And we said, so I can't, you know, don't talk about those things, Holly. Well, you know what? It's real. And this was a person in the church, you know, who goes to church, loved the Lord. No one would ever know it. They were professional, but they would have moments where they just couldn't stand. Now, what was happening? Or why would a person ever run themselves down? Because deep down they believe that they're faulty or they're, no, we are, that's the wrong word. We are faulty, you know, hallelujah, we all have faults. I have them, hallelujah, we all have them. If your name isn't Jesus of Nazareth, you have faults. That's we know that, God knows that. And God loves you no matter what your faults are. But when you have self-destructive thoughts, belief systems, or behavior, God doesn't love that because it's hurting you. The reason he hates it is because it's hurting you. He doesn't want you damaged. He doesn't want you harmed. And those were drastic examples, but sometimes people have self-sabotage or they have, you know, they're just about to sign a business deal and they don't feel they're, this is actually someone I know that I'm talking about, that would actually sabotage it themselves because they didn't feel worthy because all their life they were told, you're a bum, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything. One of the smartest people I know. So you have to understand that our behavior patterns come from our soul, and our soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, that is where you believe what is right or wrong. And that is why God so earnestly desires that you have truth in the inmost parts. That means deep down in your knower, He wants you to know who you really are and whose you are. And so you say, well, how do I resolve this? Because I do have faults. Well, I do too. Here's how you resolve it. God wants you to know that if you're born again, your born again spirit is holy. It is righteous, it is perfect, and it is forgiven. And when God talks to you, that's who He's talking to. And that's your true identity. And He's trying to allow that the real you to come forth. But what's happening? That treasure, that heavenly, born again, holy thing, that born again spirit, is a treasure in an earthen vessel, earthen, clay, dirt. Remember, Adam was made of dirt. And so that treasure, that golden, gleaming, holy, righteous, wonderful person that has all these gifts, all this understanding and knowledge, compassion and love, all the things of heaven, because you're God's own kid, all the love of God, compassion of God, giftings, anointings, that's all in your born again spirit already. You don't have to ask for it, you already have it, it's in your spirit. It says we are complete in Him. That's what the Bible says. And so you have to know that that's in there. But if it's so encased in the soul, right, the mind, will, and emotions, the physical body, it's encased in this mess, right? Right? Or at least that was my case, where the reason I found this out was I was seeking to find the Lord in heavenly ways. I had learned about the presence of God, and I'd actually encountered it. And man, once you encounter the presence of God, you know, it ain't about religion. It's about, wow, there's nobody like Him. You're forever smitten. Once you really encounter His presence, you're done. Nothing on this earth compares. Nothing on this earth can hold a candle. There's nothing of the slightest interest. When you really encounter the presence, the glory, the goodness of God, ooh, there's nothing else of interest, really, you know? And so I was actually seeking Him, seeking to know Him. And I found that these things were getting in the way, these false belief systems, these wrong ideas. It took me a couple of years to get free from guilt and condemnation. That's not what the Bible preaches. The Bible preaches there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So, but I didn't believe that, right? I elevated this emotion I had. I had this emotion, which I will call guilt, which actually was a stronghold because I had a false belief system. And that was a lie that God was mad at me, that I was a terrible person, which really, I wasn't even doing anything interesting by that point. I was fasting and praying and living for God and reading my Bible and trying to do everything right. And yet I had this terrible sense of guilt and dread and condemnation all the time. Didn't matter what I did. And it was a stronghold that had attached to this lie I believed, which I had unknowingly elevated above God's word, which says nothing can separate you from the love of God. Right? Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Well, why did I not believe that? Foolishness, right? So Jesus mercifully delivered me from guilt and condemnation. But then even once I was set free from that, it's like my mind had to be renewed to the true gospel message because I really didn't know it. And so He began to teach me and teach me and teach me and teach me. What was He doing? Washing my mind with the water of the Word over and over, teaching me through the Word of God about the love of God that never fails, never grows dim. You know, the Bible says the Father's without variableness or shadow of turning. His love for you is 24/7. He's always looking upon you with kindness. His face is always shining upon you. But there's times when a Christian even, can choose to go down an evil path. Does that mean God doesn't love you anymore? No, it means His face, imagine this wonderful shining light shining on you and you walking out of it to go down the path of sin. Did God stop loving you? No, he longs for you to come back home. The prodigal son is always welcome back home. He doesn't, you'll notice in the story of the prodigal son, he doesn't leave and go to the barn and get the kid and drag him back. He waits. But every day he's watching down that road, because the minute the kid shows up, he runs to meet him. He fell on his neck and kissed him. He called for the best robe, right? Because the prodigal son is always welcome back home. So what happened? Did God's love cease? No. We ceased to walk in it. We walked out and in. Some people walk in and out of God's love all the time. In and out, because they're half committed, right? Oh, did I say that out loud? But the truth is, as we seek him, he will deliver us from those wanderings. I have a friend that was delivered of a backsliding spirit. Who knew there was such a thing? But when she was delivered, she said it changed her whole life. She changed everything about the way she did stuff. So these are soul issues, and God wants us free. God desires true followers. True followers of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a big difference between being a believer and being a disciple. There's a lot of people who say, oh yes, I believe Jesus was the Son of God, and he died on a cross and he was raised from the dead. I believe that. I'm a believer. Well, that doesn't mean you're a disciple. You know what the Bible says? It says, oh, you believe in God? Good. The demons also believe and shudder. You know, they're not saved. But a true disciple is someone who leaves everything. You know, the disciples left everything to follow Jesus. You know, he didn't want half disciples. He didn't want people who said, well, I'm gonna follow you and I'll still do this, right? He didn't care for that. He wants people who belong to him wholly and completely, wholly, wholly and completely. And there's a lot of peace in that. If you're still holding back part of your life or part of your desires, part of your dreams, part of your hopes, that won't be blessed, because it's outside the jurisdiction. It's outside the blessing of God, okay? God really loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants your life to be good. But it's really up to us how we walk. So hopefully this has helped. I love you, and I'll talk to you another time. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.